for May Rowdies, who have made a huge upset.
Your 2021 Eastern Conference champion.
A chance play to go!
Oh, that is a delicious goal for Tampa Bay.
And now, you're tuned into Tampa Bay's RBLR Sports.
Hello, everyone out there in Tampa Bay and beyond. This is James Knowles coming at you for the RBLR Sports Podcast. I am here tonight by myself. There is nobody with me. For whatever reason, Carlos has decided that he is going to law school. So I guess he needs to improve his life and whatever, something about improvement, he said. I stopped listening after that. But he is not here because he is at law school orientation. And then hopefully he will be back next week and able to join us to talk about the Rowdies again. But in the meantime, it will just be me going over a very, very interesting last week, actually, with quite a bit of action to go through. If we want to do our usual weather report, well, guess what, everybody? It is hot and it is sunny. And it is honestly terrible to be outside in Florida right now. I don't know how these professional soccer players do it, in all honesty. I go out there and play my adult league games, and by the end of it, I am sweating through my shirt like I was in the pool. And these guys are playing at a much higher level with much more intensity and probably for longer periods. We go for a little while in our adult league, but yeah, I just don't think it compares, you know, just don't think so. To get past that, though, we can talk about the actual Rowdies games that just happened this past weekend and try and, you know, put them into perspective, because one of them didn't go as well as we wanted, and one of them actually was quite nice, although they were both technically shutouts. So the Rowdies are unfortunately out of the USL Cup after losing on penalties to Louisville City. We'll talk about that. I will talk about that moving forward. And then on Saturday night, they beat Rhode Island in the league. That was another shutout. So we will do a shutout and a penalty loss, and then a shutout that turned into a win in the course of this episode. And we will also preview an upcoming game this weekend away to Detroit City in Michigan. If you are a Rowdies fan anywhere near Michigan, get up there because their crowds get pretty crazy. And we need some green and yellow, some green and gold in the stands as well, if we can do it. I will not, unfortunately, be able to be there. And I hope that somebody will be able to take my place in Michigan, I suppose. Like and subscribe to us on YouTube or any major podcast platform. And of course, please follow us on all the social medias at RBLR Sports, Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, Blue Sky, whatever else I'm forgetting. We are there. So check us out. Now, let's get into the first quick recap for the Louisville City game. Again, this was the Louisville City game in the USL Cup quarterfinals, and then the semifinals now are lined up as well. Jamali Waite started in net. In front of him was Connor Antley, Lawrence Weick, Max Schneider, again, playing as a central defender, Nathan Dos Santos, and Charlie Ostrom. Your midfield was Sebastian Cruz, Lewis Hilton, and Louis Perez. Up top were MD Myers and Russell Cicerone. No goals were scored by either team because it was a 0-0 draw. Now, because it was a 0-0 draw within the 90 minutes, it went straight to penalties. That's how they do it in the USL Cup. But like I said, it does count as a shutout. So with the shutout from the prior Saturday, that was the game against Orange County, we actually had three shutouts in a row over the course of Saturday, Wednesday, Saturday. I got to say, that doesn't actually come off too bad. Unfortunately, though, we did lose on penalties, and that was a big letdown after putting five goals past them. I will tell you, I was sitting in the stands, and we were chanting all night long at Hugo Ferreux, the goalkeeper for Louisville City, that he had just given up five goals to us a week and a half prior to that. And in the end, boy, when they won the penalties, they all got as close to the crowd as you can get and still be on the pitch itself. It was that's the kind of stuff that rivalries are built on. I saw Stephen Cundiff write that on Twitter, and shout out to him. He is right about that because it pissed me right off. I was so annoyed that Louisville City got the chance to be in our stadium taunting us from, let's say, 10, 15 feet away, however big the difference is between the stands and then the start of the pitch where they were just behind the advertising boards. You know, the players didn't react to that because they're smart and they should not react to that and, you know, push Louisville City away or anything. But yeah, as I said, that filled me with negative emotions, and I did not like seeing Louisville City be able to celebrate, especially in our home stands, especially in front of all of us in the Ralph's Mob and Skyway Casual section. We had gathered everybody around saying squeeze in so that we could try and put them off their game. Unfortunately, that did not work. And the lone save by Hugo Farou for Louisville City, that put them into the next round, the semifinals of the USL Cup. And I will read those out now. Hartford will host Colorado Springs and San Antonio will host Louisville City. So I guess, come on, the Texans, San Antonio, we need you to beat Louisville City because I hate seeing purple teams do well in general. I have, I guess that goes obviously back to Orlando City, but all of the rivalry that we have with Orlando City, I think that we have a pretty healthy rivalry at this point with Louisville City, if we didn't prior to this past week. And just as a personal note, when my wife and I were on a trip, we went to Sweden and we saw, we took in one game there, BK Häcken, who are also yellow, not green and gold, but yellow, relatively close. And the game that we saw, they were playing against Anderlecht, a Belgian team who are royal purple. So that day Häcken won and that was positive. But unfortunately, the Rowdies could not do the same thing in this past one and carry on the legacy of not of, well, just beating purple teams in general, wherever and whenever we can. Go on, San Antonio. Please do the job that we couldn't, I suppose. All right, we will move past the USL Cup for now. We will return back to that, obviously, when we're doing the larger questions. But we need to do the quick recap number two, because there was a game also on Saturday. This was a league game, and it was against Rhode Island at home. Jamali Waite started in net. In front of him were Dion Acuff, Connor Antley, Ethan Bartlow, Nathan Dos Santos, Charlie Ostrom, Marco Micheletto, Lewis Hilton, Pedro Dolabella, Evan Conway, and Carson Henderlong. Two new loanees there. Antley did start the game against Louisville City on Wednesday. Bartlow was on the bench. He did not come off the bench. And then Antley, unfortunately, had to go out of this game with what looked like a head injury. I asked the manager afterwards what was going on there. Supposedly, he had injured his head earlier in the game, and he thought that he was able to continue playing. And then later on, it became more of an issue. So he sat down at one point. If anybody was there or saw this and remembers it, he sat down at one point and then asked to be taken off. And that was probably due to this extended head injury. So we're going to hope, obviously, that this is something that he can overcome with the proper protocol being done. No need to rush back if it's a if it's something as serious as that. We obviously don't want anybody injuring their head. That would probably be a bad thing for a professional player, regardless of their sport. But yeah, Connor Antley had to come off due to that. But before he did, he scored a lovely, lovely goal to put us ahead. And then Louis Perez got the extra time goal, so the Tampa time goal, I will say, to really put some icing on the cake and make sure that Rhode Island had no chance to come back in this one. It ended 2-0 with those goals from Antley and Perez. Really fantastic way to bounce back from the loss against Louisville City, loss in the cup. And I really think that the way that we've set ourselves up in the league, especially with the little extended road trip coming up here, that is going to help us out and put us in good stead. But in the meantime, we do have to contemplate the penalty loss there. So let's do our standings up. Actually, before that, one quick stat related to Rhode Island, just because I noted it here. Very odd, but we had not beaten Rhode Island except for one other time way back in our first meeting in March of 2024. Other than that, we have drawn to Rhode Island, or actually more frequently lost to them. So now we are a little bit more even in our shared record. I just something that I found odd, not beating them since March of 2024. So happy that we got that win, especially because apparently they have been a big thorn in our sides. I wouldn't say quite like Louisville City, not yet anyway, but down the line, maybe we will look back on Rhode Island and be like, How did they get into this position with us? But yeah, glad that we got that win. Now we'll move on to the standings update. We stayed atop the league with our strong wins, while actually quite a few other teams around us dropped points. So in the Eastern Conference, the Rowdies are up to 44 points. We are the only team above 40 points. Not only that, we are actually the only team above 34 points. So our lead right now over anyone, anywhere in the league is 10 points. That's pretty good. I would like it to stay that way. Obviously, it is unlikely, but it puts us, as I said, in a good position for this upcoming road trip that we have for a couple of weeks. Rowdies, again, are on 44. Charleston Battery have 33. Detroit City have 32. Louisville City have 31. Pittsburgh have 30. And then Indy and Rhode Island each have 25. Out west, Orange County have 34, New Mexico United have 33, San Antonio have 32, El Paso have 31, Sacramento have 30, Tulsa and Las Vegas, of all teams, have 29. I did not realize at all where in the league Las Vegas were. I guess it's good to see again that they are not the joke team that they had been for quite a few years. They are in a playoff position, and they are challenging a couple of teams that we know to be regular players. Pretty good sides in this league. Tulsa, more recent, but Sacramento is generally a very good team. San Antonio, another one that's a very good team. They're only 3 points off of San Antonio. So fantastic for Las Vegas Lights. I hope that they can, I don't know, I just hope that they can turn things around because it's good to have, I think, some presence in Las Vegas soccer-wise, but in addition to that, there are community people out there who actually watch the sport and go to the games, and I'm sure that they would like to do so regardless of whether or not MLS thinks that they can go out to Las Vegas like they are planning to do or seemingly trying to. And so, yeah, keep it going out there. Make that a formidable club and actually get some grassroots going that you have some people to stand up for you. Now, let's do our own standings. Last week, our predictions were a range of things. But I will just point out that because I was out, everybody said that my predictions were a 5-0 win for both games. Now, I did not challenge that. It is not what I would have predicted for either of them, to be fair. But that's just where it was for me. With my caveat out of the way, Eureka still leads, and he actually got a couple of points on this one. So he is on 28. Carlos is on 25. Then Parker, myself, and Connor, all three of us have 19 points. So we are very close together. There is this gap at the top between Eureka, Carlos, and then the three of us down there. But myself and the two writers on the team, Parker and Connor, we are, it's as tight as it can be in our own standing. So hopefully somebody like myself makes a couple of good predictions here, and then we can at least hope that there is a one single person loser that we can ultimately say you have to do whatever punishment comes out of our predictions game. So let's move on to the broader segment here, which is our questions related to the two games. And in fact, I'm just going to lump in the game before that, even though I'm sure there was a longer recap last week when Parker and Carlos helped me out and did that for the Orange County game. How did these two games go together? And again, three in quick succession, how much of a toll was there? And along those lines, I wanted to hit on the newbies as well. I asked our coach, Dominic Casciato, about, you know, obviously it is August. Anybody who is in Florida, I mean, anybody who's anywhere, I suppose, knows that. But it's August, and in Florida, that is the absolute hottest time of the year. It is, again, dreadful to be outside. I think that they are doing all of their training, obviously, very early in the day. But the matches, they have to play as late as possible. And that's why I think we've had 8 o'clock kickoff games more recently. It's just very hard to play under these conditions. And I think that we've seen the toll that it takes. Obviously, we have a couple of injuries, Leland Archer, Brian Schaefer. I was about to say Leland Schaefer, just combine them, I suppose. They are both out with injury. And there are a couple of other players that I am forgetting off the top of my head right now. So bringing in Connor Anley and Ethan Bartlow, I think that those are both important pickups here. And I asked Dominic Casciato about that. He said, obviously, they had an eye on Connor Anley. He was a former player with Tampa Bay Rowdies. That only makes sense that they would be keeping an eye on him. It only makes sense that he would be a player that they would want to bring in for a game like this. I think that his play has been extremely positive. You know, he came in the first game that he got a couple of minutes off the bench. He didn't look totally up to he looked just maybe a tiny bit off. And I think that possibly that was you know, getting used to these conditions again here. But in the last two games that he started, both against Louisville City and then also against Rhode Island, he looked fantastic, in my opinion. I think both of those, he has just proven that he will. Obviously, he moved to MLS because he's a very good player. I think that he's going to pick up just where he left off, possibly at an even higher level. And by that, I mean, we might see a goal every now and again, just like we did against Rhode Island. If we get another assist, another goal from him every other game or so, I think that I think that's not out of the realm of possibility just because of the caliber of player that he is. Ethan Bartlow, they said, is somebody that they had identified before the season had started. They were unable to get him at that time just because he had signed with Sporting Kansas City. However, he was available more recently, and so they have brought him in on loan. And that, of course, does help us out in terms of filling in these positions. Like I said, Leland Schaefer. they both out, Leland Archer and Brian Schaefer. So, yeah, we have now Connor Antley, who can help out at the back or as the right wing back. That's where he played most frequently, I'm pretty sure, under Neil Collins in his first stint with the Rowdies. And Ethan Bartlow is generally a center back himself. So we have both of those positions kind of really filled in a lot more readily. And that's a big, big boost, especially at this point in the season. I think that we are down to exactly 10 games left in the league. So if we have a little bit more depth there, of course, that allows us to, well, not worry about that particular position for one thing. And they did mention that, you know, there has been a toll taken just because of it being this time of year. The Rowdies did well specifically against Louisville City on the defensive side of things. I think that we were unable to create as many chances as we wanted against Louisville City. And of course, you know, I'm not saying anything too revolutionary there because, you know, it's borne out by the stats here. It was a 0-0 draw in the end. Now, we did have 12 shots. Three of those were on target. And one big chance, which, of course, was missed. That's all according to FotMob. And, I mean, you know, we did well here, but it definitely would have been nicer to get ourselves into the positions that we had against Louisville City a week and a half before them. Now, you have to take into consideration that game was extremely open, obviously, because in addition to our five goals, Louisville City had four. So it was less open for both teams here. I think that Louisville City did what they needed to do a lot better in terms of shutting us down. But obviously on the other side, then we also shut them down. And I guess in that sense, it was a very even contest. But yeah, it was just something that we... possibly there is the excuse, if you want to call it that, of having the games in really quick succession, only 3-4 days after the prior game against Orange County where there was travel. I'm sure that the team would point this out while saying that they don't want to make excuses. So it's kind of one of those where it's going to affect you, but you do need to get past it as best you can. And so, yeah, Louisville City, they got one over on us on that one. And then the penalty shootout, like I said, Hugo Farou, as much as we had been taunting him all game, he did get the last laugh there along with all of his teammates afterwards. But the overall thing to take away from this, and I think that it's important considering the prior results, is the defensive performance. So the Rowdies had not done as well defensively more recently. I just want to go through those really quickly. 5-4 versus Louisville City. That was a win, but we gave up four goals. 3-2 over Miami. That was an away win. But again, there we gave up two goals. And Miami isn't a bad team, but it would be good to try to shut them out, I would say. We also gave up a goal against Loudoun United. Now, unfortunately for them, right now we are, or Loudoun is, a bad team, and us giving up a goal to them is probably beneath our standards. If we move past the other USL Cup game, then the prior one was a 4-1 loss to Lexington. Obviously, that's not very good either. So, moving into a position where we have a more steady, more sturdy back line is important here. And I think that really is shown in our three shutouts in a row. Max Schneider, by the way, really big shout out to Max Schneider, who played as a center back when, who was it that came off? But he went in as a center back more recently when a player came off due to injury who had started as a central defender. And then Max Schneider filled in there. He is obviously not usually a central defender, even if he does have the build for it. So he stayed there versus Louisville City, and he helped us maintain that shutout and get what would have been at least a point in the league, right? But still, he is, it just shows, honestly, the versatility of a lot of these players. I don't think that Max Schneider was brought in specifically for his versatility. He was brought in to be the midfield player that he has been for most of the season. But when we were down so many players, he filled in, and he filled in quite admirably. Again, bringing in new guys on loan, that's gonna really help us out here. And the game against Rhode Island a little bit more. That one took a while to get going in terms of the attacking plays. Ultimately, our shots were 19 with 6 on target in this one. And there is another big chance, which we missed, according to FOTMOB. So our 2 goals, I guess, were not off of big chances. But anyway, that was a much better performance, I would say, in the second half. Attacking wise, and you could probably kind of chalk that up as well to the conditions there. Rhode Island, you know, it's still hot up in the Northeast, to be sure. That's going to be true wherever you are in the country, but you're just not going to face the kind of humidity that you are playing a game in Florida. And I mean, it's just like a big heavy wet blanket that is weighing you down. So possibly the Rowdies did benefit a little bit from being used to that and getting the better of Rhode Island in the second half. But I do want to highlight Connor Antley's goal. It was just so well taken. And for him to get that on his first league start back with this team, I think that Rowdies fans should be very happy with the direction of things. Now, the team has obviously been doing very well in general in 2026. A huge improvement over 2025 and all of the things that we don't even want to revisit, US Open Cup games, for instance. All of those things are really in the rearview mirror at this point. And to bring in players that are going to boost us at this crucial time when we are in that race for the playoffs at the moment, we are in that race actually for the overall first place. Now, overall first place, you don't really get too much out of that, like in terms of reward, because you might get I think it is the USL Player Shield. And that's nice. It is more a point of pride. What you get out of being first overall, though, is a guarantee of a home playoff game, no matter whom you play across the rest of the playoffs. That's what we should really keep in mind. And like I said, I believe that we have 10 games left. If we can dial in or continue to dial in probably and maintain this level for those last 10 games, that's going to be a fantastic way to set us up for the playoffs here, because it doesn't matter if we end up playing the 8th seed, the 6th seed, third or second. It doesn't matter if we end up playing whoever from out west, we will host them and we will have all of the Rowdies faithful behind the players' backs. And I think that we've seen many times over the course of this year just how much that actually means. The amount of Tampa time goals that we have scored, including in this game against Rhode Island, with Luis Perez getting, by the way, also a very, very nice finish on, I think, the half volley, if not the full volley even. It's something that the players really do feed off of that. And so us being able to maintain that record and put ourselves in the best possible position in every kind of aspect, that's what the team is trying to do. And so far they are succeeding. I think we can only say that they're succeeding, but I just hope that, you know, we continue down this path here. Let me see if there is anything else that I want to hit on. The very, very good play from all of the guys involved here. Everybody who was out on the field. Jamali Waite, actually, also another player that I should hit on while we're talking about it. He still has a very good, you know, important contributions pretty much every game. And I think that he had a big save when it was 1-1, or excuse me, when it was 1-0 against Rhode Island. And obviously he keeps the game in our advantage that way. So everybody is really contributing here. Max Schneider going back to his midfield spot against Rhode Island. He did not start, but he came on later. Lewis Hilton, he's a player that hasn't had as many starts this year as we're probably used to seeing him. And he's come in and he's done extremely well in these positions since then. So with all of the rotation that happened actually into the Rhode Island game, you see Evan Conway and Carson Henderlong start up top. They're guys that have mostly when they've started in USL Cup games, in fact. But they kept it level for us. And then ultimately, I don't know if either of them were on specifically for the Connor Antley goal, but it's just another really good contribution here. Ultimately, like I said, Connor Antley came off due to that head injury, and Gennaro Nigro came on actually as a sixth substitution. You do get that for specifically head injuries, and that's why we had an extra substitution for anybody who was looking at the play. So, moving on to our man of the match, I do have that for Carlos. The game on Wednesday, he went with Max Schneider, and the game on Saturday, he went with Connor Antley. I mean, I really think that both of those are pretty well earned at this point. I don't know what else you could say about Max Schneider. Again, stepping in when he is not used to playing in that position, and probably not going to play that position very often, in all honesty. So, shout out to Max Schneider, and I think that that's well-deserved. Connor Antley, on the other side of things, yes, of course, he had an extremely, extremely positive game against against Rhode Island, switching those up now. It's lovely to see when a player who is so well-known to fans here in the Tampa Bay area and generally respected as a good player, but also a good guy too. I know that he is somebody who has made the rounds with a lot of fans, and I think that he's my wife's favorite player. But yeah, Connor Antley, definitely very deserved, very happy that he's back. When we had talked 2 or 3 weeks ago now about the possibility of the Rowdies going out into the loan market and picking up some players, I didn't even think about the option of Connor Antley out there. But the team, obviously, they have professionals in these positions, folks. They know what they're doing, and they went out and got some good players. So I will go with my player of the match for each of these. And let me just pull up the Louisville City game here. I believe I will go with Nathan Dos Santos for the Louisville City game. Excuse me. It was also a shutout, and Nathan Dos Santos has just been a leader for the vast majority of this season. He has contributed so much because he has played, I think, every single game that is in the league, that is in the cup. He has been involved and almost starting every single one of them along the way. So Nathan Dos Santos was a player that we actually spoke to in the press conference after the win against Rhode Island. And, you know, he did note, of course, that they are dealing with the issues that they're dealing with, but they're all in a position to keep the team moving on in the right direction. And he's been such a crucial part of that with his leadership from the back. That's what the center backs are there for. You can see the whole field from the back. You've got to be able to contribute in that way. And I really think Nathan Dos Santos has. For the game against Rhode Island, I will also go with Connor Antley. I mean, yeah, that's I think that the way that he played, he deserves that. So Connor Antley will actually be the RBLR man of the match for the Rhode Island game. And again, Max Schneider, Nathan Dos Santos for Louisville City. Okay, that will do our recap. Hopefully I covered everything. It is usually easier to bounce ideas off of Carlos just because I think that's how ideas come out a little bit more easily. Sometimes you got to work your way through them or put them down to paper, which I haven't fully here. I just have all of my talking points. And so Carlos, again, doing whatever life improvement or nonsense he talked about. He left me here to dry, in all honesty. But there you have it with your recap, folks. Rowdies out of the USL Cup, but overall first place in the league with a 10-point lead. Can you really complain all that much? In my opinion, yes, but no. Now, liking and subscribing is free, but if you need some new threads, you can support this podcast just a little bit more by heading over to shop.rblrsports.com and checking out all the designs that we've got going on there. There will be a link in the description. Check that out below. Use the promo code COYR for 10% off of your order if you would like to get something. And when you check it out, I am certain that you will find something that you do want to get. So remember, COYR, 10% off of your order. That will get us going. Okay. this Saturday, the Rowdies also play. Unfortunately, it is not at Al Lang Stadium. It is up in Michigan. They will play Detroit City at 7 p.m. Tune in on local stations or on ESPN Plus, I believe, to watch. That is what it shows, at least for me, here on FOTMob, the app that we use for all of our stats. And, Detroit City are in mixed form lately. They have drawn against Miami and even Loudoun United this past weekend. So, we drew against Loudoun United, to be entirely fair. But I think in the interim, we have taken multiple steps forward, and especially in the league. So their form doesn't necessarily tell us how this is going to go. I would like to get through the lineups here, because that is also an important thing to hit on, especially with one particular player. So, excuse me again. Carlos Herrera is likely to start in net behind Rio Hope Gund, Devin Amumensa, Callum Montgomery, and Tommy Silva. Kobe Hernandez-Foster should more than likely be their defensive midfielder behind Haruki Yamazaki, Maxi Rodriguez, Abdoulaye Diop, and Aiden Stanley, with Darren Smith up top. Darren Smith, this is the danger man. He has 12 goals this year. He has already hit double digits, and we are not even out of August. Had to check. There are 4 assists for Kobe Hernandez-Foster from midfield. Now, just be aware that in this past game that they drew against Loudoun United, for whatever reason, Darren Smith, I don't believe, he was not even on the bench for Detroit City. He did not start, and he was not on the bench. I don't know if there is some issue with Darren Smith, but they went with somebody else starting up top, a Nigerian striker, Chisholm Ebuchunam, is how I'm going to go with that. But if that means that there is something wrong with Darren Smith, then that could be a boost in and of itself for us. Obviously, Detroit City can win games without him, I'm sure. However, he is a significant portion of their attack. He is the largest portion of their goals, obviously. And he is the guy that they're trying to find with every cross and every pass forward that they make. Keep that in mind for when the starting lineup comes out. If we do not see Darren Smith, then he might be injured or something might be up there. I would like to think that If we can get into a game that does not have Darren Smith in it, maybe we have an even better chance. This striker who started for him in the game against Loudoun United came on prior to that, much later against Tulsa. That was a 1-0 away win for Detroit City over Tulsa. But that player again, Chisholm Ebuchunam. He came on much later in that one. So, like I said, Darren Smith, by the way, got the winning goal in that one, just to really hammer the point home. Kobe Hernandez-Foster has 4 assists, and he will be the guy who is, I mean, you could probably look at it as a quarterback, if that's the easiest term here. He is the one who's going to sit behind their attack and look for the passes, look for the places to put the ball. So, I mean, it is a pretty apt comparison in this particular case. And I think that, honestly, for us to have the best chance to win this game, Darren Smith, obviously, whether or not he starts, yes, shutting him down is going to be important. But the way that you shut him down is probably that you shut down the distribution to him. You shut down his theater. And in this case, I think that's going to be Kobe Hernandez-Foster and the players behind him. So, luckily, the Rowdies do, you know, quite well outside of possession as well. And we will see exactly how they line up to try and shut down this midfield. If we can do so, with Kobe Hernandez-Foster in particular, but the players in front of him too, they're no slouches. And shutting everybody down is going to be the name of the game here, moving through their midfield especially. But keep in mind, against Detroit City, there are a couple more factors here. So, obviously, there's the first thing, which is travel. Travel isn't necessarily on its own the thing that should really make or break a game for really anybody across this league, unless it is that very, very quick travel and quick turnaround. But in this case, I think we have a little bit more time, obviously. There's no game from this past Saturday until this upcoming Saturday. They can set up their schedule however they want. What we do need to focus on is in Detroit City, they play at a really rough stadium. And by rough, I don't just mean the fans. The fans are probably 5 feet from the touchline. They're right in your face. any player who has played against Detroit City can tell you just how, I don't know if intimidating is the right word, but it's a factor. It's definitely a factor. If you were trying to take a throw-in and somebody is 3 feet behind your head, I can tell you that that would definitely be a factor. In addition to that, probably the much larger factor here is actually the pitch itself. So, of course, Detroit City play on turf. Now, in particular, I think that this is not like maybe the worst turf across the league. We've seen teams put, I don't know, sod down over the clay part of a baseball field. That's probably the worst that we're going to see. But the turf in Detroit does seem very hard. And in addition to that, it's a very bad playing surface. So the Rowdies, I think that we generally try to do we try to keep a lot of possession on the ground. I think that there are a lot of times where players have space to even run in behind an opposition defense and actually don't take that. So that is something that the Rowdies don't necessarily try to focus on. Of course, we will look for crosses when crosses are available, and we will look for passes over the top if that is the best option. I'm not saying that it never happens, but it is a much less frequent part of the Rowdies' play in 2026. So playing on the ground in Detroit City, I think, is just going to be a tougher ask. And I don't know if that's something that we will continue to do in this particular game. I'm not sure exactly how it's going to shake out that way. We were obviously just going to have to wait and see. And the other side of things is injuries might play a role in that too. Connor Antley, we'll see if he is already able to come back. I don't know if the head injury that he has suffered is something that he, probably the medical staff, obviously, if the medical staff will deem him prepared to do that. And then there are the other players that would otherwise be there, Brian Schaefer, Leland Archer, and again, those others whose names I'm forgetting. I do have a spreadsheet that I could consult, but I just have not done so. If we have all of these players available to us, or all of the usual players available to us, then I'm hopeful that we have we definitely have the quality. I don't think that's an option, or I don't think that's a question. But whether or not it all comes together in this particular match against Detroit City, there are other factors to take into account here. And we just need to be aware of them as fans, because as much as we have our 10-point lead, and as much as I would like us to keep a 10-point lead, it's up in the air any given time how our opposition is going to do and how the Rowdies are going to do on very different field conditions. So let's get into our predictions here. And I have the predictions from our two writers. And I also now have a prediction from our producer and Carlos. There we go. Wrote them all down, folks, just in the nick of time. So Carlos has gone with a 1-0 win. Our writer Parker has gone with a 2-0 win. Our writer Connor has gone with a 2-1 win. Eureka, our producer, has gone with a 1-1 draw. This is live for me choosing what I'm going to go with here. You know, I think that this is going to be a very difficult one just because of everything that I went over, but also, can we keep up the momentum here? I am going to go with a 2-1 loss, unfortunately. I don't say that because I want to see a loss. I just say that because I think not under the Rowdies form, obviously, but under the conditions that we're dealing with, that might be something that we're likely to see here. And I do want points for our own predictions. As I said earlier, I do need them because I'm stuck down at the bottom and I need to get myself a little bit higher up in these standings here. Anyway, I'm going to go with a 2-1 loss. So again, review those. Carlos, a 1-0 win. Myself, a 2-1 loss. Eureka, a 1-1 draw. Parker, a 2-0 win. Connor, a 2-1 win. That takes us through our preview against Detroit City. Please tune in, as I said, either on your local stations or on ESPN Plus this upcoming weekend. I hope that we have somebody in green and gold in the stands, but the likelihood is that the vast majority of us, of course, will be here down in Florida or watching from wherever we are, like Carlos is based in DC. And we need to send them all the good vibes through the TV, through the airwaves. However you want to look at it that way. And hopefully they will absorb all of that and beat my prediction and take 3 points back home to Florida again. All right. So Now, with that out of the way, let's move into our extra time segment. The extra time is actually not directly related to the Rowdies roster, although we do have some late breaking news on that. But there are two prior players that I wanted to highlight here. So in the case of Cal Jennings, he is leaving Japan. He was previously in Japan for, I believe it is FC Ryukyu, if I have that correct. I'm trying to remember offhand. But that has not lasted. So he is not staying in Japan, and he is, in fact, going to Sacramento Republic. Now, anybody who remembers, of course, knows that Neil Collins is the manager at Sacramento Republic. If I'm not mistaken, he is also the guy who brought Cal Jennings into the Rowdies previously. So only makes sense that he would bring in somebody of that caliber. It also does make sense, of course, that Sacramento would bring in somebody of that caliber. They are a well-funded club. They have good facilities. They are, currently in the process of building a whole new stadium. So when that's done, I think that they're going to be probably one of the best capitalized clubs across the lower division of American soccer, along with, I think, the Rowdies, Louisville City, Phoenix, three of those will have their own standing stadiums that they own. The Rowdies obviously do not own Al Lang Stadium, but we do have fantastic facilities outside of Al Lang Stadium. And, of course, as we noted last week, the Rowdies did re-up for 2027, and they will be playing there again. So I think that the Rowdies do have that portion of items going for them. Of course, the giant capital outlay that is building a stadium is still probably a bit more than just renting Al Lang. I'm sure that in the future, the Rowdies are going to have to figure out exactly what they want to do with that. Supposedly, the Tampa Bay Sun have plans for a stadium around the new Ebor buildup that they're doing. I don't know exactly what the timeline is for that. I don't know if they know what the timeline is for that, but maybe two teams working together on it would be even better. Just going to put that out there for probably nobody from either club listening to this, but boy, would we fans of the Tampa Bay Rowdies and the Tampa Bay Sun, and we fans of both clubs, really like to see that in the future, I'm sure. Anyway, all of that to go back to the fact that Cal Jennings is moving on to Sacramento Republic. I wish him well, other than, of course, when we take on Sacramento at any point, then I would like him to score 0 goals. Or he can score an own goal, actually. That would be nice. Moving to another former Rowdies player, Rubens Passias. He was here on loan last season. He did actually pretty well for us, but he has not been getting the playing time in Nashville that I think he wants or expects, and so he is on the move. Now he is on the move to FC Rouen in Florida. Florida? How about France? There we go. He is on the move to FC Rouen in France. And FC Rouen are in what is the Ligue 3, the third division. It is recently professionalized. This is just something that I wanted to highlight because previously in France there was Ligue 1, the top division with PSG, Monaco, all of those teams. That is professional. There is Ligue 2, second division, which is also professional. And then the third division was called the Championnat National, and that was, it obviously wasn't professional, so you would probably just say that it was semi-professional, and there were clubs who had varying levels of investment in their league. So in France, the federation has put more investment into that, and they have actually got a lot more buy-in from the clubs that are participating, and it is now Ligue 3, the professional third division. And I know all of this from, you shouldn't probably highlight other podcasts on your own podcast, but just quickly, one that I really like is called The Sweeper. They talk about a lot of geographical oddities around soccer. So they talk about, soccer in Gibraltar or Greenland or what have you. But they also do talk about stuff like this. And the professionalization of the third division in France was something that I learned from them a little while ago. And so he will be playing under better conditions, obviously, and in better facilities around the country of France. And I would assume his French is pretty good coming from French Canada. But yeah, good luck to Rubens Passias. I don't know exactly where FC Rouen are in terms of the likelihood of getting promoted up to Ligue 2, but we'll see how that goes. I will probably end up tracking him at some point over the course of this upcoming 2026-2027 campaign around the rest of the world. So to return to the Rowdies very briefly here. Late breaking news that was sent to us by our reporters in the field. And by that, I mean everybody who is a part of RBLR and sending it within our little Discord server. Isaiah LaFleur has been recalled from his loan to the Rowdies. So he is back now at Nashville, and we will not obviously have him available to us. Now, what does that mean for us? Generally, I guess we have the option for all of the players that we would generally have at left back and not have to worry about LaFleur filling in that way. I think that bringing in Connor Antley has really helped us out there, because obviously we have had Gennaro Nigro, who is a natural left back, play on the right side. When Dion Akoff was previously injured, he has obviously more recently come back because he did just start this past game against Rhode Island. Very positive stuff there, but that means Nigro can fill in more frequently at left back, where he was originally brought in to fill in. Charlie Ostrom, luckily, has not been one of our injury concerns over the course of this season. Praying that that stays that way, because he's been a fantastic player. I'm looking at it now, and he leads the team with 7 assists overall. So, fantastic work from Charlie Ostrom, but he and Gennaro Nigro can go back to focusing on the left side of the field almost entirely. And then we have Dion Akoff on the right side. We had Sebastian Cruz play on both the left and the right. And then now we have Connor Antley. We have Lawrence Wyke as well, as the other player that I wanted to highlight. Potential options. So yeah, lots of good players there. Yanni Lehrman is, by the way, another one of the injury concerns. He and Sebastian Cruz missed this past game. I saw them in the hallway to the locker room after the game, and they said that they're both hopeful that they can return soon. I don't know, obviously, if that means yes, they will or won't, but they were at least hopeful. That's the reporting that I can give you at this particular time. I didn't have any medical staff on hand to give me anything better than that. And I'm assuming the players can't be, you know, much more in depth on under the circumstances. Either way, thank you to Isaiah LaFleur for his contributions. Obviously we wish him the best in future. I will be keeping an eye on him, just like I keep an eye on every former Rowdies player that I can remember. That will be Cal Jennings, Rubens Passius, now Isaiah LaFleur back at Nashville. Okay, I think that does it for everything that we had to hit on this week. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in. I always appreciate when you do. We always appreciate when you do, in fact. Please follow RBLR Sports at RBLR Sports on Instagram, Twitter, TikTok, Facebook, Threads, anywhere you are, we are too. You can get at me if you would like. I'm mostly on Twitter at RBLR James K. Forgot my own handle for a second. Or you can use the hashtag AskRBLR, of course. Like and subscribe to our podcast. You can get the full experience on YouTube. And we are also on Spotify, the iHeartRadio app, Apple, and Google Podcasts. Wherever you are, again, we are there too. You can listen to us there. So, 3 shutouts in a row, a really good win on the weekend, and hopefully another one coming up away from home. Come on, you Rowdies.
Thank you for tuning into this presentation by RBLR Sports. On your way out of the stadium, please remember to like and subscribe.